This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
This episode brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Hello and welcome to the Pitt Mailbag Show from the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. We're your hosts, Chris Carter and Abby Schnabel, your college beat reporters here at the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette, which you can read all of our work at post-gazette.com. And you can find all of our podcast content at Post-Gazette Sports when you search it on your favorite podcasting app and on YouTube. Like this video if you enjoy it. Subscribe to this channel to get all of the daily content that comes out from all of our Pittsburgh sports writers, as well as the Monday, Wednesday, Friday episodes of the North Shore Drive podcast. And all these shows brought to you by Mike's Beer Bar, the best bar of Pittsburgh. When you go to Mike's Beer Bar, they have over 500 different available beers, 300 of those beers from the local Pittsburgh area, and 80 of those local beers are available on tap. More on them later. We're joined, as I said, by Abby Schnabel, one of our great college beat writers here. Abby, it was Father's Day. It was a nice weekend, but now it's hot in the city of Pitt. It's hot everywhere. The heat wave is hitting everywhere, but I hope you got to enjoy your nice weekend.
Oh, yeah. The heat's preparing me. As Chris knows, I'm going on vacation here soon. It's going to be even warmer. I'm going to Greece for 2 weeks, and it's going to be even warmer there. So the heat's preparing me. And yeah, all I did was watch a lot of swimming this past weekend because I'm a big Olympics nerd. And I watch just about all of the trials. And so I was locked into swimming trials.
Absolutely. And we will get to that because there are some Pitt and Pittsburgh related stories to the Olympics right now, especially in the aquatic side of things. But let's lead off with a big question we have from one of our listeners and readers, Brandon, who sent us an email, asks, will Pitt miss out on Malik Thomas with him not being at Lincoln Park now? Now, for those who may need quick education, Malik Thomas is one of the top recruits in the country, and I mean top five in the country when it comes to basketball, local Pittsburgh product, played at Lincoln Park, just won 2 state championships alongside current Pitt signee Brandon Cummings, who is about to be a freshman for the Panthers. And Malik Thomas looks to be arguably the best shooting guard prospect in the entire country. And he has been heavily recruited by Pitt with his local ties. He has been to Pitt official visit at least 6 times. No doubt, undoubtedly been there more than that. And with him being in Pittsburgh, that was an advantage that the Panthers had. But as we reported, Mike White reported this for the Post-Gazette last week, Malik Thomas will not be playing his final year of high school eligibility at Lincoln Park. And in fact, he's going to Overtime Elite, which is sort of a pro league where he can finish his high school education, but also get paid $100,000 minimum a year to play in a young pro league that will prepare him for either the NCAA or the pros. And that is a huge difference from where he was at Lincoln Park. And that's where Brandon's question comes from here, Abby. I talked about this a little bit in the Pitt recruitment report. It's not guaranteed or spelled out how his recruitment will go from this point, but this is a guy who's one of the top players in the country. He has an official visit on this Wednesday with UConn. He's had multiple visits with Auburn. He has an upcoming visit with Arkansas. He's had and he's due to get a lot more visits as this year goes out here. Abby, what are your thoughts on Malik Thomas not being a local guy anymore for Pitt to kind of try to keep in their corner of things?
Well, I have two thoughts. The first thought is I'm way more worried about him visiting UConn than I am him moving to Atlanta, just because of what UConn is doing right now, going for the three-peat. Dan Hurley, which we'll talk a little bit more about later, you know, just saying I'm coming back to UConn. That worries me, especially with him being a top talent, However, you know, you said without him not being local, with him not being local anymore, you can take the city out of, or you can take the guy out of the city. But Pittsburgh, having only lived here for about a year and a half now, Pittsburgh leaves a mark on you. And for someone who has lived here just about his whole life, I see that as a big benefit to Pitt because of two fronts. You know, this is the first time he's really leaving his house for basketball. Or for anything. And so here's a year not in Pittsburgh. There's a potential for there to be a little homesickness there, which could play to Pitt's benefit. And also, anytime you have a teammate that you already know you work well with on a team, that's an advantage in and of itself. And so, I mean, I see those two things with Brandon Cummings and the fact that his family's here being an advantage for Pitt. And honestly, him going to Overtime Elite is just going to make him a better player wherever he lands up. But I feel like Pitt has laid the groundwork so well. He has ties here. It's likely the team he grew up watching. And, you know, Brandon Cummings is there. His family lives just outside of the city. And all of that, it's like, it's a bigger benefit. There's more pluses to Pitt than negatives, even though he's going somewhere else for a little bit. It worries me that maybe some of the Southern schools will try and flirt with him a little bit more. But, you know, six official visits, and I get it, you're just outside the city, but six official visits, obviously you like it to some extent. Otherwise, you wouldn't be coming back. And so while it may be a little nerve-wracking because going to a program like Overtime Elite opens your doors a little bit wider, I feel like if it's meant to be, Jeff Capel has laid the groundwork. He's got ties. It'll work out.
This is where I think it's going to get really interesting is because the bottom line is going to, I think, is going to still come down to NIL money. Can Pitt put out there enough for Malik Thomas to want to stick? Because here's the thing. He's getting, again, a minimum. It is a minimum amount of money that they make in Overtime Elite is $100,000. That is like if Malik Thomas was the worst player there, he'd be making six figures. What is he going to get on the market of today's NIL offers? What major program can throw millions of dollars? And we've seen it. You know, Jordan Addison had a hefty price tag about him, and he was snatched away by USC years ago. And again, Jordan Addison on the football side, but this is a Biletnikoff winner, won the ACC championship with Pitt. And again, no one begrudged him for taking the money that he did to go to USC. Everyone was okay with that. But like, if you're Malik Thomas and you see that Pitt it's your hometown, it's the team you grew up rooting for, your old high school teammate and buddy Brandon Cummings is playing for him. And let's say Pitt goes to the tournament this year. Let's say Pitt does some damage. Let's say they make a Sweet 16 run. But Dan Hurley comes calling, and he gives you, and UConn throws a bag at you. Is Malik Thomas going to turn that down for playing at the biggest basketball school in the country, getting paid top NIL dollars? That would be a heck of a story if he did. That would be an amazing win for the university, a major, major win for the program. A few years ago, Abby, there was a guy by the name of Efton Reed who looked like Pitt was this close to getting. He was a five-star center. And in fact, Pitt played against him multiple times because now he plays for Wake Forest. But they were this close. And at the last second, flipped to Florida. And it caught everyone off guard because he looked like he was going to commit to Pitt. And then that switched around and that changed everything there. And of course, you know, he's not even at Florida anymore. He's at Wake Forest. But this is going to be a thing where even if Pitt feels like they've landed Malik Thomas because he's been on six official visits and he might be on more later on, no one at Pitt will feel safe until this man says a verbal commitment and signs the dotted line.
Yeah, the verbal commitment, as great as it is, those can get flipped pretty easily. It's really they want to wait until he's signed on the dotted line. But I think I'm gonna hedge my bet on the homesickness here. Listen, okay. I think that's a huge, huge benefit for Pitt because you go somewhere not really. I mean, you could drive to Atlanta. It's probably not a fun drive by any stretch of the imagination. That's a long time away from home, and that's a long time being away. And you start to think, oh, well, my support system's back there. I like being around my support system. Do I take less money to go to the team that I grew up watching? at least for a year, you know? Like, I don't know. I think there's definitely the money element, but I think a good example, when you just look at a Pittsburgh kid, is Jake DeMichael on the money side. He didn't play on scholarship last year, and he wanted to play for Duquesne. Duquesne's different than Pitt, and it's different than a top five recruit. But I'm just saying, sometimes it's not just about the money. And I'll be interested to see how this plays out, because I think that this is a potential to be one of those cases where it's not just about money.
Absolutely. We will keep you up to date on the Malik Thomas situation here on the Pitt Mailbag Show, as well as on the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette's college beat here. But let's switch topics here. We have Trisha, who sent in a question. Any update on Pitt's potential Olympic swimmers and divers and aquatics and such? Abby, again, as we did last week, this is a question I will defer to you on, because while I'm trying to comb through recruitment projects right now, that is not something I've been having. And as you said, that's something that you nerd out about. What have you seen as far as the Pitt's potential people that could make the Olympics, or even people with Pittsburgh ties?
Yeah, so we're recording this on Monday, and I say that because two of Pitt swimmers, Jerry Chen and Adam Mahler, have prelims for their race tomorrow, Tuesday, June 18th, which will be somewhere between 11 and 1, depending on the order of the races. But other than that, Claire Jansen, who's a rising junior at Pitt, she competed today. She was in the first heat, came out really hot. I was really impressed. She, at the halfway point, she was in the lead, gave it up just a little bit, but finished with a personal best of 101.95. That's a minute and 1 second. And she had the second fast, obviously first heat, second fastest time. But really great time. And then when the second heat came up, Mount Lebanon junior Sylvia Roy came out with an even better time. And I was like, oh, no way, she's not making it in. But the heats just kept getting better and better. And both Sylvia Roy, who's committed to Virginia, and Claire Jansen missed out on semifinals. So their Olympic run within the 100 meter breaststroke is done. That means it's Claire Jansen's for sure done. But as I said, Jerry Chen, 200 meter breaststroke tomorrow, and Adam Mahler, 200 meter butterfly tomorrow. And then the divers, Pitt has two divers competing on June 21st Cameron Cash and Dylan Reed. Both of them had really successful seasons. Cameron Cash was the ACC Men's Diver of the Year. So they'll be competing there on the 21st. So it's not over yet, but we just lost one person who didn't make it to the next round. You know, it's really hard when you look at swimmers. There's over 1,000 people who compete at Olympic trials.
Lots of competition.
There are 52 spots. So it's really, really, really difficult. But, you know, Claire Jansen should be holding her head high, because a personal best at Olympic trials is nothing to it's definitely something to celebrate.
It's something to celebrate to even get there in the first place. Yep. Like Abby, despite, you know, we see those people in the Olympics, we forget those are the best of the best of the best of the best. Like I got to say, like five bests to get to how you get there. It is a huge accomplishment for these people to get to that. So like they should be celebrated for even doing that. And if Pitt can get a member in the 2024 Olympics team that competes in Paris, that will be a huge story that we will be sure to keep track of here at the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. Let's switch topics here to our final one here. And this kind of gets back to a name that we mentioned here. So we thank Grant for giving us our own segue. Grant sends the question in: how does Dan Hurley's decision to stay at UConn impact the college sports world? And this one is less of a Pitt question, more of a college sports question, which is totally fine at this part of the year where we're still looking at things. But for those who might not be aware, Dan Hurley, of course, the head coach of UConn men's basketball, back-to-back champion, national champion, and was reportedly offered, you know, the head coaching job for the Lakers and reportedly turned it down. And it would have been a slight pay bump for him. But there were many people who were, insinuating or, you know, kind of saying like, hey, like if, you know, what has happened to college sports? Because if Dan Hurley can just be bought away, you know, does this mean for anything for college sports? And Abby, I don't know about you. When I heard that proposed at the start of this, I'm like, first of all, is that really a change? Like, look at John Harbaugh the multiple times that he's been pulled away to the NFL. I didn't think it was that big a deal, but I do think that Dan Hurley sticking around in college sports is also a reminder that it's not the same for everybody, because Dan Hurley is at UConn where he runs things. Dan Hurley can get whatever he wants. He is the man. He is unquestioned. He's like Bobby Knight of Indiana. He's like Joe Paterno at Penn State. Like people that he's Coach K at Duke. If you're a major of a blue blood that wins national championships or is in that conversation all the time, you could call your shots. That is very different from people that attend universities where, you know what, it is harder on them to do the it is harder on them to compete in the transfer portal every year, not just to get new players, but to keep your players. UConn don't got to worry about that because they're UConn. And that, I think, plays. I don't think that this is a big landscape or a landmark thing that happened for college sports. I think this is just another sign of when you got the goods, you don't leave the goods.
I think it is a good thing for college basketball. I mean, if the arguably the best coach right now, just based on, you know, back-to-back championships, if he's turning down the Lakers, and yes, he is, as you mentioned, a bit of a god at UConn and gets just about anything he wanted. But if he can turn down the pros, what's to say the littler guys who aren't? And maybe it's a money thing, because when you look at it, you know, on paper, the Lakers job was about $20 million more. However, it's not that much of a gap when you consider taxes and the cost of living versus Connecticut and California, and specifically Hartford versus LA. Like, there's not that much of a gap in the grand scheme of things. Again, you know, we see a lot of coaches, whether it's at the football, whether it's in football or basketball, we've seen them start and make the leap to the pros, a lot of because of the ever constant changing landscape of college sports. You know, it's just too difficult to navigate for some of these coaches that leave. And I think seeing a guy who's at the top of his career, like, that's when you typically go and make that jump, is when you've done something to prove that you deserve to make that jump. And if he's saying, no, I think college basketball is the place for me to be. I mean, listen, I'm always a person who prefers college basketball over the NBA. I like the NBA, don't get me wrong. But again, if a guy like Dan Hurley saying, no, I'm going to stay at college basketball, I think that's a statement. I think that's saying that he thinks that's the best for where that's the best place he should be. I'm not saying he wouldn't be a good coach at the NBA level, because look at the success he's had at the college level and you just have more resources. I just think it's a good thing for the sport to see this guy.
Yeah. No, I agree with you that it's good. I don't think that it changes anything. That's the thing. Like, I don't think that, you know, its impact on the college sports world is that Dan Hurley's sticking around and he's still going to be the man at UConn and still be, you know, a national championship, you know, program and leading that. But like, if I'm Dan Hurley, you got to offer me like ownership stake of the Lakers to make me leave what I got at UConn. Like, again, Dan Hurley can call all the shots. He like you said, he's got it at UConn. And UConn, that's not like Ohio State in football where they're really relevant. They run it in basketball. They're always in the national championship conversation. They have been. They're a legacy blue blood program. And now they're still at the top of their game. And he's going to get whatever recruits he wants all the time. We're talking about how he could take Malik Thomas, because who visits there this week. So, like, that's the thing, is that if he goes to the Lakers, then he's just like every other NBA coach. And again, he would need serious money, like a month. Like, how much more is, I think what they offered him, like an $8 million raise. How much more is $8 million going to help for a man making like 60 plus?
And especially in LA, one of the most expensive cities in America.
Too. Right. Like, you know, and again, I think that it's certainly, like you said, it's good for college sports that Dan Hurley's sticking around, because he's one of the biggest names and faces in the coaching side of things. But at the end of the day, I don't think that's going to stop any, you know, like if Pat Narduzzi got called up to the NFL, you know, I think Pat might take that deal because of the opportunity. Now, Pat is also is really entrenched in Pitt, so that could also be a thing here. But I still think that there is going to be your pipelines of college to pros, as it should be. It's part of the sport. You know, we just saw Jim Harbaugh leave Michigan after he got them a national title this past year to get back into the NFL for his second stint in the league. So I don't think it changes a whole lot, Grant, with your question, but I do think Dan Hurley staying is positive, as Abby said. Abby, thanks so much for helping me out here on another Pitt Mailbag show. Appreciate you. You got anything coming this week that people should be on the lookout for?
It's not Pitt related, but Duquesne Hoops is back at it, and I'm going to practice this week at some point. So stay tuned for that, and then I'll keep everything updated on the Olympic front as well.
Absolutely. She's Abby Schnabel. I'm Chris Carter. Thanks so much for tuning in to the Pitt Mailbag Show from the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. Reminder, you can subscribe to this on your favorite podcasting apps and on YouTube. Like this video if you enjoy it. Subscribe to this channel to get all of your daily content from the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. I'm back Wednesday with another episode of the North Shore Drive Podcast. We'll see you then. Thank you for checking out this content from Post-Gazette Sports. If you watch this video on YouTube, please like the video and subscribe to our channel. For all of the sports coverage the Post-Gazette has to offer, visit post-gazette.com.